At a variety of points in his gospel, Luke pointed out that Jesus strongly opposed the Jewish leaders and that they strongly opposed him. Even the Jewish people eventually turned against Jesus and demanded his death. Now, it's not hard to understand why the Jewish Messiah would stand against the abuses and errors of his people. But why didn't the Jews accept their own Messiah? Why did the Jews hate Jesus so much?
First of all, those who are in authority had the most to lose. And we can see there's a general orientation to power and authority. It's just human nature, and the Jewish authorities were no different than any other human beings. Those who have power want to hold on to it. And Jesus came as a threat to their power. They understood the kingdom of God in a narrow way, in a nationalistic way, in an ethnocentric way, in a tribal way, and they had the most to lose. And just as was told to Mary in Luke's gospel, this child shall be the cause of the rise and fall of many in Israel and a sign to be opposed. John's gospel begins with the anticipation that this is the light which came into the world, and the darkness did not, some translations say, comprehend it, but I think rather we should understand overpower it. Jesus came as the light of the world, and the darkness had everything to lose. And so the religious authorities manifest that, but we also should remember that it's not very long, it's late in Holy Week, as we call it, where everyone, even the crowds that had followed Jesus, cried out for the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus, that Jesus came not fulfilling people's expectations of what they wanted God to do. Instead, he came manifesting what God was determined to do, and that means a threat to our own independence, a threat to our own autonomy. And we don't like to die to self, and so Jesus brought the threat of overturning our human wills, and that's why he was ultimately, from a human level, rejected. But we also have to look at it on the divine level too. It was God's purpose and plan that Jesus come to redeem fallen humanity, and that he would destroy death by himself dying. And so it was, as Peter says in his sermon in Acts chapter 4, that according to the predetermined and foreordained plan of God, this Jesus was crucified. So what becomes the worst thing to ever happen in the history of the human race is also the most glorious thing that happens in the history of the human race. The way it comes to us individually is we see Jesus challenges our autonomy. Jesus challenges our self-authority. And just like Peter wrestled with this question, do I follow the way of the cross? Or do I follow the way of the sword? Do I follow the way of death to self so that I may live in Christ? Or do I follow the way of living in my own power and strength? We feel that very dilemma that Jesus encountered in the crowds on the day he rode in and throughout the following week until he was crucified.
Well, people hated Jesus for a variety of reasons. And we could list them in, we might say, spiritual and non-spiritual or everyday sorts of reasons. At one level, people hated Jesus because he upset them. The Pharisees did not like the way he conducted himself. I mean, he's obviously a teacher. He's obviously somebody vaguely like themselves. And yet he's unlike them. He doesn't keep their rules about the Sabbath, about who to associate with, about the way you eat, the way you wash. So many things were so upsetting to them. Essentially, you could say they had a religion of law. And they believe you got right with God by keeping law, and they were the keepers of that law. They were the ones who knew what the law meant, how it should be interpreted, how it should be practiced. And, you know, if Jesus were just an ordinary sinner, if he were just a tax collector, they'd have said, well, he's a tax collector, and written him off. Or if he were just an ignorant farmer, they would have written him off. But he looked like them. He was a teacher. He gathered disciples to himself, and he didn't do it the way they did it. And for that reason, they found him troubling. Not just distasteful. It's not simply they hated him for personal reasons. They almost certainly thought he was what the Old Testament calls a Messiah, a beguiler of the people, because he could perform miracles, mighty deeds. There's no question he had certain powers. He was charismatic, he gathered followers, and he was misleading people. For example, something we all know, that Jesus talked to women freely. And you know, the rabbis at that time actually said, you shouldn't even talk to your own wife too much, because it will drag you down, it will corrupt you. A woman can't learn the law, can't study the law effectively, goes in one ear and out the other. Why are you bothering? Now, that's trivial compared to the fact he spent time with prostitutes, tax collectors, notorious sinners of all kinds. A holy man does not associate with such people. And the fact that he had disciples was what made him so dangerous in their mind. And so they hated him, probably partially for, now go horizontal, you know, partially for very human and very mundane reasons. He was more popular than they were. He seemed to criticize them. In fact, he did criticize them. He walked, now leaving the Pharisees for a moment, going over to the priests. He walked into their turf. He cleansed the temple. That's what we call it, really more like a protest, more like a partial or representative overthrow of the temple when Jesus cast out the money changers that the priests had said could operate there. And, you know, they asked him the question, who gave you the authority to do this? Well, of course, that's a loaded question. It's mostly loaded because they're the authorities. And they're saying, in part, we didn't give you authority to do this. God gave us the responsibility to care for the temple. How dare you walk into our temple? God gave us the rules. How dare you walk in here and overthrow legitimate businessmen going about their affairs? They were jealous of Jesus. He stepped in their turf. But there were also some aspects of self-righteousness, and maybe in a not wholly evil sense of the word. They really thought they were the guardians of God's word. They were finding Jesus disagreeing with them. Now, there are other reasons, very different sorts of reasons. We don't really know all. We can't fathom all of them. Why did Judas turn against Jesus? Maybe Judas wanted Jesus to do more. Maybe he was hoping for a nationalistic hero, which so many other people hoped for. We don't know about Judas, but certainly there were some people that wanted a Jewish leader to rise up and to unseat the Romans. And a lot of people followed Jesus for his signs and thinking, if he can do all this, he can do more. And maybe that turned to disappointment during the final week. So that they turned on Jesus. There's an interesting use, various folks have noticed, of the word paradidomi, which means to hand over or betray. And it goes like this. It says Judas, in one place, handed Jesus over or betrayed him to the Jews, to the priests, out of greed for 30 pieces of silver. Boy, is that mundane. He just wanted money. We can't minimize that. The priests, same verb, paradidomi, delivered Jesus over, betrayed Jesus over to Pilate out of envy and self-righteousness. That's in Mark 15. Pilate handed Jesus over for execution out of fear of the crowds, fear of what the, or maybe not fear of the crowds, but accountability, shall we say, and fear of what the Jewish leaders might say to the Romans if he didn't come through and kill this seditious man. And then, of course, behind it all, we have the eternal perspective that God delivered his son over for us all. So there are many answers to the question, why was Jesus hated? And many answers to the question, why did he die? And I think we're best off if we look at the sort of horizontal, the misguided spiritual, and also the divine, God-centered spiritual answers.